Well, we are in chapter 7. I hope everyone got a chance to read it this week. Not going to be quite as interactive as the last 2 weeks, which were actually quite fun. This exercise in this chapter wasn't quite as interactive. But the point that Howard Hendricks is going to make in this chapter is we have to learn to read. We have to learn to read. And most of us are saying here, yeah, but I already know how to read. I said, well, do you? That's the question he asks in this. Do you really know how to read? And we're on page 66 as chapter 7 begins. And Howard opens up talking about Wendy, who was frustrated because she would read a passage of the Bible. She'd read a paragraph or a chapter and come away and it's like, I just didn't get anything out of it. Anybody besides me ever been in a phase where that happened? I'm like, I just read it, but I don't think I know at all what the Lord is saying. Of course, we know we're dependent upon the Holy Spirit to be our interpreter, both as individuals and as a church. And that's how the Holy Spirit keeps us in unity, is everyone hears the same scripture and the same teaching, and we together say amen, or we run the guy off with a pitchfork, right? There should be harmony. The spirits should be testifying in harmony together. And poor Wendy walked away with so little from her investigation into the Bible. She said, I just don't think it's worth my trouble. Throw it back on the shelf. Maybe others get something out of it, but I haven't. And at the end of the first paragraph of the chapter, Hendricks suggests perhaps two reasons that you failed to hit pay dirt. First, you don't know how to read. Second, you didn't know what to look for. And of course, the last few weeks we've been talking about observation and learning skills on how to look at the Bible, how to mine it for its riches. Reading is it's a learned skill, all right? It's something that we learn to do. Most of us started very young. We learned one step at a time, building blocks that were built upon one another in our reading classes, in English, in comprehension. And it starts real young, right? ABCs. A, B, C, D. We start with building blocks, and then we build upon that. If anybody here has learned a new language, I know my wife had to learn a new language, and then she learned a third language. I've got a niece that knows about three languages fluently and another three or four partially. And all of this has occurred as an adult. You can learn to read as an adult, all right? If you missed out on a few of the building blocks, you can learn to read, and it is a very valuable tool. You're never too old to start, but it does take some diligence. It does take diligence to know how to read well. Hendricks is going to give an overview of some of these steps to help us with our comprehension, which is what I want to talk about primarily today. In about the third paragraph there, Hendricks then says, the Bible needs to be understood. Not just read, it needs to be understood. So in this and in the next few chapters, I want to offer instruction on how to read. And then later on, he'll tell us what we need to look for. Comprehension is often our problem. And it's a skill that can be developed. Some will read a paragraph and they don't know at all what they just read. Here's the thing, folks. The art or science of reading is important for us and for our children. The art and science of reading is more than pronouncing a sequential order of words properly. You follow me? Because you can pronounce a sentence, a series of words in order, does not mean that you comprehend what is said. You can tell a toddler Bring me the big rubber ball that is red. And the toddler, you know this if you have small children, right? They'll look back at you for a moment because they don't know what is the ball, or are you asking to bring red, or are you asking to bring big, or are you asking, what do you want? Because they've never identified the direct object, right? They don't know the difference between adjectives and modifiers and direct object and things. So we teach them to read. It's more than pronouncing a series of words. They don't know what they're bringing you. Really, they're bringing you all red and ball and round and everything. They're bringing it all, but they don't know what it is yet because they haven't been taught what a direct object is. Comprehension is key. Can you see this then applied to the Bible? Comprehension is key to interpreting. It's more than just properly sounding out the words in sequential order. We'll see this a little bit in Sunday schools. I try to keep in touch. I don't do as well as I'd like, but with our children especially, I'll talk with Mary or Sunday school teachers and Cheryl and run into them. We talk about the kids, and they can read a paragraph out of the Bible, right? Would you read a paragraph out of the Bible? We like to do that. And you ask them at the end, you know, maybe a 3 or 4 sentence paragraph, and you'll ask, the teacher will ask, okay, what did you just learn? And they're like, I don't know. And that's because it isn't just sequential order of words. We as adults need to understand that when we go to the Bible as well. And it's not a lost cause. There are adults who learn languages all the time. We can surely learn to do this better. Howard Hendricks said that he went to college and he was a star student in high school, and he goes to college and he's afraid of failing out. And the teacher answered to him that, you know, the problem is you don't know how to read. He used an example of a fella on page 67. I'm on page 37. I don't have the foggiest idea of what I am reading. You ever done that in a book? Read a chapter? Not just the Bible, but any chapter? We're going to gain tools to make us more effective as teachers because we're going to know what we read. It's for the glory of the kingdom. It isn't just an English course or a reading course. One example that I'll give, and I think it comes in the book. I haven't been through this class in years. I haven't read the book completely for a long time. Here's one example. When you read a book, you ever seen the good books? And at the end of each chapter, they have a what? A blank page. And you're like, what's that for? Sometimes it's a whole blank page, both sides blank. And you're like, what, they hate trees? What's the deal? It's because authors who are philosophical or really understand language, and the Bible is in this category, that is so at the end of the chapter, you write down what you just learned and you articulate it in your handwriting, and that's how you remember it. That's why the page is there in good books. And the suggestion, I think it was something like this, we'll see if it gets later in the book. The suggestion is, read for 10 minutes, write for 5. And you will remember what it was that you just read going forward. Is that a practical device or what? Very wonderful. Oh, I don't want to waste time. I don't want to waste 5 minutes writing thoughts about the Bible or about a chapter of a good book. Well, why not? You just wasted 10 minutes reading if you can't recall it. So we can read more effectively and recall what God has said to us in the Bible, just as secular authors provide that in their book. We don't want to waste our time. We want to be better readers. Hendricks says on page 67 under the title, Learn to Be Better, Learn to Read Better and Faster, about the second paragraph there. If you graduate from the university and you can't read, you can't write, You can't think. What can you do? What's his answer?
Nothing.
You can watch television. Wow. Boy, that's an accomplishment. Because you can't feed yourself, or I can't feed myself, we're watching what other people say about the Bible rather than discovering what the Bible says, and we become dependent on YouTube pirates. And you Google, what does the Bible say about marriage? And you pull it up to somebody you have no idea. You don't even know if they can observe the Bible. And they're telling you what it is to believe. That's why we're so manipulated. It's because we're not able to go to the Word of God ourselves and mine it. Hendricks says in that same page, suppose you want to study the book of Ephesians, you happen to be a slow reader, which I am. So it takes you a half hour to read the entire 6 chapters. Suppose you learn to read it in about 15 minutes and double your comprehension. Would you be up for that? I think we all would. And he suggests a book by Mortimer Adler, How to Read a Book. Excellent resource. I've read it. It's been years, but it is an excellent resource still today to know how to read. He'll have a lot of pointers. I didn't discover that I read a lot faster. I'm not a speed reader. It's not a capacity that I have. I did increase my comprehension a lot. And that has really been a blessing that I learned from that book and from this book as well. I'm concerned about retaining the little speed I can read. I don't want to lose that. So these are tools we can use. That's a good book, Adler. The other one, what was the other one called again? Oh, How to Read Better and Faster. I don't think if I remember right, and that's been 15 years ago, I don't think I benefited as much from that book. But I read them both because I wanted to be a better reader. I still today want to be a better reader because it unlocks doors to so many things, both not only in church, but in your life, in your business, in everything that you do. On page, looks like it's 69, learn to read as for the first time. Oof. Yeah, I need to cover this too. Steve, would you read the first sentence in that?
It is often said that familiarity breeds contempt.
Oof, yeah. Boy, for us Christians, familiarity breeds contempt. What we think we know sometimes is our worst enemy. When it comes to the Bible, he continues, something like familiarity breeds is ignorance. It's ignorance. The moment you come to a passage of Scripture and say, oh, I already know this one, you're in deep trouble. You're in deep trouble. Instead, you need to come to every text as if you've never seen it before in your life. And that is quite a discipline. It involves cultivating a mindset and attitude toward the Word of God. It's something we can do. It never enters my mind coming back to a passage. It does, and it's something trained through discipline, folks. It isn't something just inherent. Inherent in us is like, I got this. I've already got it. That's not good for Bible teaching. You want to go with fresh eyes. My old pastor, Tommy Nelson, used to tell us at the end of every sermon, he used notes. But he used it in a men's conference, actually Jacksonville Pastors Conference. Gerald was there with me. He was one of the keynotes, and he had his notes left. And at the end of his teaching, he goes, here's what you do at the end of your day of preaching. He pulled it out, tore it up into pieces, and dropped it. He said, you always come to the Bible for fresh material. You don't rely on your old stuff. There is a point to retain some of your stuff, so don't tear up everything that you have. But the point was made. you come back to that passage again in 10 years to teach it again, you come with fresh eyes and you start all over again, and it will yield enormous treasure. Who, I don't want to put anybody on the spot here, but this was a great exercise, by the way, testing your reading skills. Did anybody follow through on that?
Yeah.
I tried to read it as quickly as I can and see how I could do on the test. And folks, you could use that for your kids. You can use that exact one, take it to your children, ask them to read it and answer the questions. And it will be a good device to show us what we can retain. Anybody score perfectly?
Yeah, my wife.
I'm sure she did, Steve.
She's the brains in the family.
But it just shows us, you want to retain that which you're reading, don't you? We want that. Because it helps us in so many ways. Learning to read is fun. It's beneficial. In the Bible, it's a spiritual exercise of becoming like Christ. And what a blessing. What a blessing it is. Right below that, right above, read the Bible as a love letter. Hendricks says, the point is, do whatever it takes to approach the Word with a fresh perspective. One of the great killers in Bible study is the statement, I already know that. All right. I think the point has already been made this morning. You have to be a learner. You have to be a learner. The professors that were best at Dallas Seminary, and there were many that were good, but the ones that were best were learners. They were learners and very effective at teaching because of it. Reading the Bible is a love letter. An advertisement for Adler's book came out. It was advertised in New York. It's about page 71. In the New York Times under the slogan, How to Read a Love Letter. That was how the book was originally promoted. And a picture showed a puzzling adolescent perusing a letter from someone that he was interested in. And I hope you had a chance to read through that. But the young adolescent was just immersed in the love letter that they had received. And think about this. This was an advertisement. Just a few decades ago. It's an advertisement in the New York Times. Would they ever do that today? Why? Because people don't know how to read. If it's over 8 words, we won't take a moment to look at it. And that's how the newspapers manipulate us. They have a headline. They just give a headline, that's all people read is a headline. They discover no more, and they never get down to the bottom of the truth. And I was just impressed how that was an advertisement for a book. For a book, it's wonderful. Reading is a wonderful, wonderful exercise. To wrap up here, page 72. Hendrick says, if people read books anything, like anything with that same concentration, we would be a race of mental giants. We really would. Instead, we're so often spiritual midgets. And if you want to understand the Bible, you've got to learn to read better and faster. And for the first time, as if you're reading a love letter, just think of it. God wanted to communicate to you in the 21st century, and he wrote his message in a book. Thoughts, comments, criticisms. Terry.
I think that the New York Times, a lot of the so-called elites in this country in charge of education and media don't want us to think. They just want us to react to what they say. And the lack of ability to think is one of the keys to having a docile populace that will do whatever they say. Christianity in the past been marked by intellectual pursuit and thinking through things so that you know what's logical and what's not. And current education, K through 12 and in college, that's not the emphasis anymore.
No, it's not, is it? That's exactly right. And here's the thing, with us, and don't think that this can't change your life midlife. It did mine. Changed me midlife and being able to at least improve marginally my comprehension. And don't think you won't use it. If you're young, like Ansel over here, it can change, it can open up so many doors, reading and comprehension and study. It can open the doors for all of us. So Terry, what you're saying is, it's not only religious. It's an exercise of the mind and the spirit and the intellect and everything that makes you a creative human being made in the image of God. And this unlocks so much to who we can be and how we can glorify Christ with our lives, whether that's in the church or outside of the church. Steve, you had something too.
One of the observations I had reading this chapter was Paul. And Peter wrote that it was hard to understand Paul's writings. And we understand where Paul came from and his teaching and training, sitting under Gamaliel's training, was a giant in understanding. And so the question was asked, I asked myself, is this why it's hard to understand Paul's writings? Because we don't have the level of comprehension that he was trained under. Just something that was an observation I had made.
Well, that may be part of the reason, but the one of the barriers we have as Christians in understanding is what he's talking about here, taking the time and the observation to read it. It isn't that it's unattainable. It's that truths of the Bible don't come to the lazy. That you need to spend time, you need to be nurtured with the body of Christ. It's not the Bible in the early church. That's interesting you bring that up, because the Bible in the early church, about 90% of the early church in Europe was illiterate. Maybe even more. So it hinged on certain teachers in the church that were capable of reading, and from the outset, and you know I've preached it, I've been on the soapbox before. On the outset, the interpretation of the Bible has never hinged on one individual alone. It's always been a body of spirit-indwelt believers coming together and saying, "Amen, that's what the Lord says." Ryan.
Just thinking about what Terry was mentioning about, you know, reading the Bible and scripture for what its intent is. Paul preached and to the people of Rome, and Romans 12 too, you know, when it's a spiritual renewing of the mind. So when Paul was preaching that to the Romans, they weren't reading scripture. They were reading Roman law. And they were convinced that Roman law was going to help them save themselves. So the Republic fell because they were not following God. So when Paul said, when you renew your mind, the Holy Spirit will enlighten you to the words of Scripture. So you don't need to depend on yourself. You need to depend on Christ and his power to illuminate the message of the gospel.
Yeah. And every
individual. I think that's the difference between a non-believer and a believer as they read Scripture. It's just words on a page.
For us, it's life-giving. Nourishment. Terry.
A friend of ours named John Patrick, physician, went to a remote area in Africa, and his mission was to help with the nutrition of children. One of the things that he noticed was that families would have a communal pot and put all the food in it,
father would take his share out first, and then the mother, and then the oldest child, and it worked down to where there was just broth left for the little ones. So John Patrick started preaching from the book of Deuteronomy about the duties of fatherhood. And he quoted the scripture and built up the idea that fathers should sacrifice for their children, allow the children to eat an adequate amount before the father gets to the pot. Well, at the end of the summer, John Patrick went back, and then the next summer he returned to the same village, and the people there said, "We want you to tell us some more about this." And he said, "Some more about what?" And they repeated back exactly what he had said, including quoting the scripture. Now this is a village without written word, but the oral tradition was very strong.
I just read a chapter. That's great you brought that up, because we didn't have a lot. I wasn't going to go into the next chapter. By the way, if I forget to say anything, let's do the next three chapters for next week in observation. If I close in prayer, I forget to bring that up. But you make that point. And I just this last week studied, along with my devotional we've been talking about, I opened up the Heidelberg Catechism. And it comes with a Q&A similar to the catechism we've done, the New City Catechism, and then an explanation. And the introduction and other things that were brought in with that is how Christianity and the giving of self and the sacrifice for others and putting others first and all of the principles and tenets that come from the divine, how they transform a society for the good of believers and even those who are unbelievers, though they're not redeemed from their sins by the blood of Christ, their life in this world is better because of the principles from the Bible. And it stems from the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Those basic things. And then you go into nurture the deeper things of, as Christ did, put others first. And society is transformed by the very word of God. It's a wonderful observation you brought up. Thank you for that. Rita.
It's incredible to see how we live in a society of where critical thinking is just dead for the most part. First of all, even writing from those books, you know, mention of this book and how to read a book, you realize, where are those skills? Why weren't we taught? Even Howard Hendricks mentioned he was astonished when what he learned from those books. You know, and just to observe, it goes hand in hand with Harry's first comment, your comment that we live in a society that as long as you read the header of the headlines, you got the idea. And to be honest with you, that's what kids are being trained to. And it's very sad, and so are we adults, because we're too rushed. You know, we live in this technology age where it's supposed to make life easier, and yet we're just bombarded. I think it's just the devil's workshop. We keep everybody busy looking at things, and they don't absorb, and they take everything at the face value. And then it goes back to the fact that having those skills, learning those skills that we were never taught back in school, it will help us. Yes, I think that God's word is powerful enough to save anyone and to give a lot of guidance. But when you have the key to unlock the treasures that are in the small, minute details of the Bible, that key leads you from misunderstanding, misquoting scripture, using scriptures that do not apply, but it just fits you at, you know, your little talk you're trying to make, the point you're trying to come across. And we see that too often in Christian circles. You know, using scriptures to say something that it's actually not what it's saying if you read it.
Yeah, the mining deep, and I would, if there were two, and it's just, it has to be with who I am. As I said earlier, I can't read quickly. I don't read slow either, but I mean, I just can't fly through material and have good comprehension without stopping and writing things down. And it will transform your life. These principles are so powerful. And as Rita said, We've all been guilty of this. We read the headline and we make a conclusion. And we walk around society thinking we know something. And we don't know anything. Isn't that something? I'll go one more question if somebody has one, or I'll close in prayer. Oh, it is. Yeah, it's a catch. Father, teach us to be good students of your word, that we might be more better contributors to the society that is around us, that there might be peace, and Lord, that people might learn divine truths from us. And Lord, I'd ask that through these principles we've been studying and reading and observation, that each of us here would see the benefit of that, realize the benefit of it in our schooling, in our businesses, in our families, young and old alike, that you would bless us through wisdom and knowledge and understanding for the benefit of our lives and for those who live near us, Lord. Thank you for this morning. In Christ's name, amen. I've been told, do you want me to make an announcement about? You have a group staying here.
Yeah, just the